The holidays are right around the corner, and if you're in the UK, have we got a tasty episode for you. Francesca joins us today, the owner of The Female Glaze. We discuss all things feminism, veganism, and anti-diet culture, with some nostalgic food discussion based on her Italian roots and why she became a chef slash baker in the first place. We'll hear a word from our sponsor and host platform, Anchor, and then jump right into the episode. Stay tuned. Content warning: diet culture, feminism, COVID-19. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Vegan Chop Club.
Hello, everybody. I'm Francesca. I'm based in London, and I'm the owner of The Female Glaze, which is a vegan feminist bakery that I run from home.
What is your vegan story, Francesca? How long have you been vegan?
I went vegan 4 years ago. I was vegetarian before, for like a year before going vegan. And at that time, I was studying gastronomic sciences. So I was having classes about zoology and learning about slaughterhouses, intensive farming, and all things related to animal exploitation. And all my classmates just didn't care and actually found it pretty cool. It just really made me open my eyes. So I stopped eating meat and then fish a few months later. And then I just felt like that wasn't enough anymore, because I still knew that the dairy and eggs industries were just as bad as the meat industry. And I saw baby cows kept in cages away from their mothers. So I had my grandma's tiramisu one last time, and that was it. I went vegan.
That's amazing. So you said you were studying gastronomic sciences. What got you interested in studying food?
So food has been a huge passion of mine since I was like 16, 17. And I remember the first time I cooked a meal alone. I was going through some tough times, like most teenagers do. And I was just generally very sad and with a lot going on in my mind. And I remember that day I was home alone, and I decided to cook dinner for me and my mom. And I made stuffed tomatoes. And what I noticed is that I wasn't feeling bad while I was cooking. I wasn't thinking too much. It was just keeping my mind clear. Then the day after, I cooked something else again. And as I always do, I tend to get a little obsessed with the things that I like. So in a week, I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I want to be a chef. And my family, especially my dad, was always kind of supportive. But they tried to convince me to go to university instead of taking cooking classes or like working in a restaurant. So I tried to pick one that could help me with my passion. And I went to the University of Gastronomic Sciences in Northern Italy, where I did not learn how to cook or bake. But I studied chemistry, history of wine, nutrition, biology. And most important, it was an international university, which is not that common in Italy. So it really helped me get to know different cultures, cuisines, ingredients I didn't know. Overall, I think I made a good choice.
Nice. Well, I'm not sure if you're aware of this person, but I heard about you through Sarah Shear.
Yeah, she's one of my customers.
Okay.
She ordered from me a couple of times, and I follow her back on Instagram, and I love her projects and what she's doing. And then she got in touch to tell me about your podcast.
Amazing. So for those of you listening, Sarah, her handle is XO Shear, S-H-E-A-R. And yeah, she's a body neutral performance student in London right now. So she was on the final episode of season 4. So you can listen to that episode if you want to hear about her. But she recommended that the Vegan Chub Club talked to The Female Glaze. So I'm really glad that we all got in touch with each other. We love your take on feminism that intersects with veganism. For those who haven't heard of The Female Glaze, can you explain a little bit about what it is and how it was born?
Yes. So The Female Glaze was born just a few months ago during lockdown. And it's a vegan bakery with a feminist approach. I've always wanted to have my own restaurant or cafe, but I didn't quite know what I wanted to do, and I wanted to find a good idea to work on. And then one day, it was February, I think, and I was working alone in a kitchen restaurant, and I was thinking about this movie called Portrait of a Lady on Fire that just came out. And my girlfriend works in the film industry, and she's a writer, and she was reading and writing articles about this movie, and we were discussing a lot about the concept of female gaze, which is the main theme of the movie. So I had these ideas stuck in my mind, and I remember that I was refilling a bottle of miso glaze, and I saw the label and thought, oh, miso glaze, oh, female glaze, that's a good pun. And then I started to laugh, and I was like, oh my god, this is it. And I immediately texted my girlfriend and said, I got a perfect idea. I want to open a vegan feminist cafe, call it the Female Glaze, and host events, classes, workshops, and just provide a free, safe space for women. But of course, this idea required a lot of money, so it was not something I could do overnight. And then lockdown happened, and I lost my job. And I had to think of what I wanted to do with my life. And I decided to apply and register my kitchen as a food premise and start to bake from home and start to work on this idea that I had. But of course, I couldn't host events in my living room. So I had to find another way to incorporate the feminist aspect into it. So what I'm trying to do now is sourcing some of my ingredients from businesses that are run by women or that support women in different ways.
That's perfect. And that kind of ties into my next question. Can you talk a little more about the ethical pursuits within the business, like the vegan side of things? Like, clearly the Female Glaze has a very strong feminine foundation. And you talked about, you know, your history with veganism. And then are there any things that you take into account as far as environment or ethics with vegan products?
Yeah, of course, everything I make is 100% vegan. And from an environmental point of view, I use recyclable and compostable packaging, and I deliver everything in London in person using public transport or walking. And what I'd love to do more in the future is working with some animal sanctuaries and devolve a percentage of my profit to them just to incorporate the vegan aspect more into my business. And this is more to do with the feminist aspect again, but I forgot to say that we name our products after famous women in history, and some are more popular, like Michelle Obama or Cleopatra, but most of them are less known. And we do that because we like to tell the stories of some women who made history without being famous for it, like Carolina Beatriz Angelo, who was the first woman who voted in Portugal, when women weren't allowed to. And she found a loophole in the law which allowed the head of the household to vote, and she was the only one in her household because everybody else was dead. So she showed up, she voted, and then they changed the law, unfortunately, and added that you had to be a man and be head of your household. And then we have Melita Benz, who invented filter coffee in Germany using a piece of paper from her son's book to make the filter. So yeah, it's always nice when we do markets and people ask who they are because they never heard of them, and we get to tell some of the stories.
Do you find that a lot of people are more open-minded to the vegan part of it because they're intrigued and hooked by the stories and the journey of it?
Oh yeah, definitely. I don't think all my customers are vegan, but I think all of them are interested in supporting a project that promotes feminism and women empowerment. And I see that a lot during markets when people stop by to read the names on the labels, and I can see they're intrigued by the idea and they want to know more. And then they try a cookie and come back to tell me that they're not vegan, but the cookie was delicious. So yeah, even if to me both aspects are equally important and I don't try to promote one more than the other, I think a lot of people are attracted by the idea of supporting a feminist business.
Yeah, and of course, like, mentioning that those things do cross over and intersect is something that, you know, that's the whole point of bringing intersectional things to light, is that you can open the door to something else for somebody. That's so awesome. It sounds like COVID was actually kind of a blessing in disguise for you. I mean, of course, it's not a blessing. I don't mean it like that, but it was kind of a good time. You know, your job, former job was lost, and now you were like, this is it. Now it's time to just start baking.
I know. I never have so much time. And I was kind of in a position where I didn't have a choice. I couldn't look for another job. I didn't even want to. And I didn't want to stay home and do nothing. So I started to give shape to this idea without taking it too seriously at the beginning. And then I realized that it could actually become my full-time job.
Yeah, exactly. And I know this is a form of activism for you to bring this project to life. What other activism do you take part in the community?
Well, to be honest, this is my form of activism. I have so much respect for activists and people who fight to promote veganism and animal rights. But I don't know if that is something I could do, because I'm a very shy and not so charismatic person. And I don't think I could lead people and make them listen to me. But what I can do is showing them that vegan food is a good option. It's not just good for the animals or for the environment, but it can taste good. And maybe they won't go vegan overnight, but maybe they'll try my brownies, and next time they see a vegan option in a restaurant, they might give it a go. And I think this is a great place to start.
Definitely. Yeah. And I definitely align more with the activism just through my actions, and voting with my dollar, and then just abstaining from purchasing or supporting those industries or products, and focusing and shifting my focus and my time on vegan products. And I do think that that makes a difference. I do think that, you know, foodies and chefs and bakers are people who are making a pretty significant change as far as economics in veganism goes. And so, I mean, activism, there's such a wide range of it. Like, on the first few episodes of this season, we talked with Joelle, if you guys remember, and she's a super hardcore animal activist, and she's doing amazing, amazing work for animal rights, and that is her first and foremost passion and platform for this endeavor with veganism. But I do think that things that, you know, Francesca and I are doing as far as, like, supporting the food products and things like that, that is another form of activism that is just as important and necessary. So there is a place for everyone to settle into, to do your part in activism.
Oh, yeah.
No matter how small it seems.
Food is a great means of communication, and food is political. All our food choices are political, whether you're choosing to go to McDonald's or as lunch in a independent restaurant, or you're shopping in a supermarket or in a local farmer's market. And if you decided to go vegan, or just, I don't know, eat vegetarian once a week, or you keep eating meat, you are making a huge political choice. And of course, there are a lot of factors to take into account. And I think choices like this matters, especially when you are in a position of privilege and you can afford to choose. Because choice, first of all, is a privilege, and we need to remember that.
And I don't know, I love what it all stands for, and I don't even think I really knew until we spoke today about how the stories are so interwoven and a part of the products and a part of the message. So what you're doing, I mean, of course it's going to be successful because you've got this whole package here of storytelling through food, intersecting veganism with feminism and human rights and civil rights. It's wonderful. I think you mentioned, maybe in a preface to this interview or on your website, that it's risky to associate a vegan diet with health. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I truly believe that considering a vegan diet only for its health benefit can be pretty harmful. And this comes mostly from my own experience and the research I did on the subject, because when I went vegan, I also did that because I thought it was the healthiest way of eating. And at the beginning, I was very excited at the idea of trying new ingredients, experimenting with new recipes, making sure I was getting all my nutrients and creating my own diet, which I did alone because I thought I knew enough to do so. And then slowly it wasn't fun anymore. It was just very stressful. And I wasn't just cutting dairy and eggs, but sugars, carbs, fat food, even some fruit. And it really took a lot of time to get out of this mindset that made me see food as either good or bad, which is why now I get really pissed off when people ask me for gluten-free options or sugar-free options, and they have no health reason to do that, no allergy. So just hit the cake. It's not gonna hurt you. If there's something I don't want, is to be associated with diet culture. That's one of the things I don't want my business to support at all.
I feel like veganism and a health focus on veganism comes from a place of like societal oppression, especially on women. So that's why it's even more powerful that you're doing what you're doing, to just like really defy those societal standards for women and for veganism and say that food is good, period. You should be eating food, and if, you know, don't get hung up on the health aspect of it, and unless, of course, like you're saying, you have allergies and things like that. But if you're just feeling like, oh, I should be gluten-free because you associate it with a weight loss thing, like, that's not necessarily healthy for you mentally, even if you think it could be healthy for you physically. And yeah, it can get really convoluted really quickly, really wrapped up and messy. So,
and as vegans, I think what we're doing is so important, and we're trying to be good to the environment, good to the animals, good to the vegan community, but it doesn't matter if then we're not good to ourselves and we're not truly happy with what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you follow intuitive eating?
Yeah, what I do now is simply eating whatever I want, whenever I want. I know my body now, I think. I know that if I'm bored, I want to eat whatever I have in my cupboard. And when I'm busy, I skip breakfast sometimes. And I don't know, sometimes I want to eat a fruit salad for lunch. And most of the times, I just want 4 slices of cake. And that's okay.
Luckily, you're a baker, though.
Oh, I love talking about comfort food.
And you have those things around. And you mentioned that comfort food, you know, your take on that as a baker, you know, it ties into body love and emotional love for yourself. I think that's so important.
You know, if I think of the things I love to eat the most when I'm, I don't know, sad or I miss home or just when I give myself a little hug, I don't think about baked goods. I don't think sweets are my comfort food. My comfort food is fresh pasta, ravioli, is lasagna, the one my mom makes every time I go home. But I think these things have a lot in common with baked goods. And it's not just the fact that they're rich in carbs and give you energy. I think it's about the time you have to put into it. Because when you're baking a cake, or you're making lasagna, it takes time. You have to make all the different sauces, the pasta dough, and then you have to bake it and wait for it to be ready. And it's the same with a cake. So I think that when you do something like that for someone, or even better if you're doing it for yourself, you must be putting love into it because you're donating some of your time to.
Yeah, and food is a love language. Food is an act of service and love, and that's why I love talking to chefs and bakers about this, and I'm a total foodie, not just for food, but for the people behind the food they make and the people behind the products and the stories that are involved with that. It is a whole language, and it's just wonderful. Food is so important in so many different cultures. It means, you know, so much respect and love to so many people, and I love that that's what you say about it too, and that your mom makes you lasagna every time. I think that's so sweet.
Yeah, and another thing I love is when I receive an order from someone and they add a little note saying things like, I was having a bad day today, so I decided to treat myself to your cookies. Or, I'm not feeling well, and I know your brownies are going to make me feel better. And it just makes me so happy to know that people are choosing me as their comfort food. And I think they know that they're not just ordering a brownie, but they're choosing a product that supports other businesses or charity or just a good cause in general. and these helps them feel better. And now I keep thinking about my mom's lasagna and I'm hungry. Great.
Yeah, it's like evening over in London and it's morning time here. I'm drinking coffee and you're drinking your water. How much do you absolutely love running a small business, a small vegan business?
Oh, so many things. First of all, I love the freedom of choosing my own recipes, my own suppliers, when I want to work, who I want to work with. And then I love delivering presents and see how people are surprised. I love regular customers at markets. I love when kids want my cookies, because if a kid likes your stuff, it really means a lot. And I love telling stories about the producer behind my baked goods and the women we named them after. Oh, so many things. And now I'm missing markets so much, and I didn't know I was going to, because usually I'm happy when I'm alone in my kitchen. I didn't think I was going to miss people so much.
I was going to ask if you have any idea, you know, what that means for your business right now. Are you going to be supplying directly to customers, or how can people find your products in the area?
Yeah, they can still find my products online on my website. I am now delivering in London twice a week, Saturday and Wednesday, and I can still ship some items everywhere in the UK. All the cookies can be shipped nationwide. Hopefully I'll be able to go back to markets in December, but for now you can still have my sweets twice a week delivered to your door.
Amazing. Do you have any advice for anyone who's looking to start their own small business or starting a business in COVID times?
Well, what can I say is that, and it might sound a bit cheesy, but it's true. If you think you have a good idea and you believe in it, just go for it. Start small, but give it a go. Because when people are going to see your passion, they will give you their support. And use this time to plan as much as possible, do your research, make the best out of your lockdown, and get your project ready. Another thing is talk to people. Talk to people about it. Don't keep it for yourself, thinking that somebody's going to steal your idea. Just gather suggestions from your friends and family, discuss about it, and you might even find someone willing to invest it on it and help you with your project.
That's great. Yeah. So where can everyone shop your products? Do you have a website you can plug for us?
Yeah, it's thefemaleglaze.com, and you can find all my cookies, custard tarts, brownies, cinnamon rolls, and I just added the Christmas menu. So mince pies, special cookies, special brownies, sticky toffee pudding, a lot of nice stuff.
Yes, I was going to say too, you're going to probably have some good business for the holidays.
Yeah, I'm trying to get into the Christmas spirit myself, to be honest, as I can feel this year is going to be a little different for so many reasons, between the lockdown and the fact that I'll probably won't go back home in Italy. And I don't even think I'll have space for my Christmas tree, because this is not a house anymore. It's a warehouse now.
It's a business. You're doing it. You're doing it all. I'm so glad I got the chance to speak with you. I wish I were in London at some point to try your wonderful products. And I think I will just keep you in mind for when Americans are allowed overseas again.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me know when you're in town and I'll get you some cookies.
I can't wait. And then for anyone else listening, we do have a good portion of London listeners specifically. So make sure that you get in touch with the Female Glaze and check out where she's at and how she is able to get you the goodies.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a great chat.
Thank you everyone for tuning in, and we'll talk to you in the Chub Club very soon. Thanks again, Francesca, for stopping by.
Thank you, and thanks everybody for listening. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us in the Chub Club today for this treat of an episode. You can find Francesca on Instagram at TheFemaleGlaze and find her products at www.thefemaleglaze.com. Follow the podcast at The Vegan Chub Club on Instagram and Facebook, and at Vegan Chub Club on Twitter. Stay tuned for next week when we host a Chub Club member, Nicole, and discuss relationships and being vegan during the holiday season while keeping your sanity. We'll talk to you next week.